This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. You wanna be down with the
kids? Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5.
All-Star weekend, man. What a big weekend for you. What a big weekend for you. All-Star weekend.
All-Star weekend was fabulous. Fabulous. I mean, from Dame
what was
Lillard.
What was your favorite part?
I like McClung. Dame winning. Well, that was nice.
What about the game? Did you like
the game? The game was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it started with Giannis with the dunk, and then he took himself out of the game.
And then the
and
ISOs.
Then LeBron hit a three.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple of Lauri Markkanen shot, and I was done. I said, I've seen it all.
That's all you had to see?
Dude, I watched for 2 minutes and I said, this is the worst thing.
Well,
this is as bad as the Pro Bowl.
What was it? At halftime, it was 98, 93.
Even RJ. Now, somebody on Twitter. Oh, I guess you don't like fun because I put, after being at the Cougs game with that intensity, I can't believe that this NBA All-Star game is the same sport. It's unwatchable. And one guy goes, Oh, I guess you don't like fun. Yeah, what fun watching those guys just go up and down the court and just throw down dunk. It's embarrassing, actually. Even RJ. RJ, how did you describe it this morning when I walked in?
That bleep was ass.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I don't think
and he's an NBA enthusiast.
Well, I think that here's the problem is, you know, the fun. Like, there was when Tatum and when Tatum and Green went at it, that was pretty cool. It's two teammates, and then Green has that face shield because he fractured. Jayon is not Green, but Brown. Boy, I got Jaylen. I almost put Jaylen Green in All-Star game. Here it is. Like, here's his shot right here, the little step back, and he's got his face mask on from the fractured face. He wasn't missing the All-Star game.
No.
I'll play with a fractured face. Now, he did miss time in a regular season, but he's not missing the All-Star game. But... it was pretty cool, those two guys going at each other and doing little, you know, like after Brown hit it right in Tatum's face, he did the little thing on him, and then his teammate came right back down, hit it, and did little on him. But when people talk about fun, like, do you realize that you have the thing that can be a little bit frustrating is that you literally have a collection of the greatest players in the world. Like, how... the thing that's really cool, you hear stories when you watch a documentary on Dream Team, how hard they went at practice. You've got Jordan and Bird and Magic and Malone and Stockton and Barkley all going hard at each other. Can you imagine if this game they decided to really go hard at each other, the amount of talent?
But they don't.
No, they don't. They don't. Yeah. Sometimes they do when the game gets tight. You know, in the fourth quarter they will. But that's what gets frustrating is just thinking, I get it, that people like to, you know, and there's some cool moments of dunks, but when four, It's just what could be if you had the ultimate pickup game in the world between all the greatest players in the world, how incredible that would be. You actually do get that with baseball. Pro Bowl, you understand, end of a long season. It's a physical game. You understand it's like it just doesn't physically make sense. Basketball could be a real game. It could be a real game where dudes are playing hard. I do wonder if there's a concern on some players' ends from an ego standpoint about being embarrassed in a game like that. You know, having a really bad game or having somebody just completely destroy you. But, I mean, that can happen in a regular game.
Yeah, but
so yeah. So, but the thought of being able to take the best players in the world and having a legit game against each other that you get to see, like we did actually get to see that. There were still moments where you know it was a little light defensively, even in the 80s and 90s, but it always the intensity kind of ramped up at different times.
I don't know if it ramped up last night. I have no idea because it was 184. It seemed like it was a Rockets game. It was 184 to 175, which isn't that far off of what the Rockets would give up in a game.
Yeah, no, that was.
I mean, that's the Rockets. The Rockets' intensity defensively is maybe like two notches. Maybe of two notches above what we saw last night, but that's still 140. You know, they'll still give up 140, 145,
yeah,
which is not that far off of what we saw last night. So this is basketball that we should be used to. Although, no, the basketball we should be used to is the Cougs basketball.
Yeah.
You want to talk about – I was there.
Cool on a Sunday. You got a TV game on a Sunday, and a lot of people were tuned in. From my timeline, I could tell a lot of people were tuned in.
Yeah, it was the place is great. You know, the intensity, you know, Kelvin Sampson's just so much better coach than Penny Hardaway, just so much better. And you know, he's got better players. He does. There's no question about it. But when you got a guy like Jairus Walker who scores 4 points, and we had Kelvin on on Friday, and I asked him about Jairus Walker and if he's on his way, you know, trending towards NBA pro lottery pick, all of that stuff. And he was like, he could not have been more complimentary of Jairus Walker. Jairus Walker scored 4 points and might be an NBA lottery pick.
No, he was complimentary of the fact that he buys in his
good
teammate.
Care. He doesn't care.
He said he's not a stats guy.
Not a stats guy. And you don't find that. How about this? We didn't even talk about this because it was, you know, at 9:30. But how about the story he told about, hey, I need you to get on out on that guy so that you know, we can shut down his three-pointer.
Well, this is when he was in the NBA.
Right. He was in the NBA. You asked him, he said, great question.
And I said, thanks, coach.
Talk about the culture, trying to develop a culture in college and develop a culture in the NBA because you were a part of both. And he goes, well, I'll tell you a story. When I was in the NBA, I told this guy, hey, I need you to get on out further out on him defensively.
On the high screen and roll.
Yeah, so that we can stop the high screen and roll and he doesn't knock down threes on us. And he goes, well, listen, coach. I get paid for defensive rebounds. In my contract, it says I get more if
this is
I get
a rocket.
The more defensive rebounds.
He didn't
rebounds.
Tell us who it was. It was a rocket, but he said, yeah, I've got an incentive where I get more defensive rebounds.
And Kelvin Sampson was like, oh my gosh. Well, see.
And then he said he was in Milwaukee, and he was really trying to get another guy to buy in on defense. And he said, coach, I get all that, or make the extra pass. He goes, you get paid to win. I get paid to put up stats. As soon as I heard that, I realized – you're dead. Like, you're dead. If the guy doesn't truly appreciate that winning doesn't matter to him.
No. He said, yeah, I don't get paid for win. I get paid for stats.
And that's the pro game.
That's the pro game. And that's just so un-Kelvin Sampson. It's just unbelievable.
So he can never go to the pros.
He can't go back. He can't. You know, everybody's talking about, hey, how about Kelvin Sampson with the Rockets next? How great would that be? No chance. Zero chance. Zero chance because of that very thing. Plus, you know, his kids, he's with his kids. I was there yesterday. We went. Actually, I stayed around afterwards. He's with his grandkids. Mm-hmm. His son is, I mean, his daughter, everybody is there, and it just can't be better. I mean, I would imagine it just can't be better for him.
Yeah.
So, but you want to talk about, you know, and he's got a great recruiting class coming in next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you see Jairus Walker, you're like, 4 points? This is an NBA lottery
pick?
And
they shot terrible from three.
Oh, my God. They were awful from three. But that Jairus Walker will do that, that's the kind of kid that he's got to find. And that's the kind of kid that he'll bring.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy to bring that. No, it's not easy.
Not easy.
Because Jairus Walker played only 25 minutes of the 40 minutes. I mean, he'll take him out right now and bring in Chaney or whomever. You know, Francis is getting minutes now. It is such a fun basketball team to watch because of how hard they play on both ends of
the
floor.
You know, it was a mode that, so they got after, Memphis rebounded with them fine, but of course, as is usually the case, Houston had a big advantage from a turnover standpoint, turning over Memphis. But Houston, the thing that I like the most is they actually made free throws yesterday.
23 or 26.
And that is a major issue for the Cougs. It's a major issue, and they made free throws at a high clip, 23 of 26. Holy crap, they didn't shoot well from three. Memphis outshot them from three. They actually out-rebounded the Cougs, which is not normal.
But here's the deal, is they shot. It was bad for a while, and then all of a sudden they started making baskets, and not because it was threes. When they go to the basket and they drive, they get fouled, and they make shots. Now, they missed a bunch of chippies yesterday, but they still shot 45% from the field. If this Cougs team can shoot free throws and shoot 45% from the field, they can win the national championship.
Yeah, but you're going to have to shoot from three a little bit. Like, you can't win a national championship shooting like that yesterday. It's just the amount of talent that you face at the end. That's one of the things that dooms them is they've got – the one thing that Kelvin misses is having a real marksman. You know, you look at all these teams that go far, they have one or two guys, or they're as a team, they shoot threes well. His team is so old school that they just – they're like old – Fight Slam with Jamma Cougs, but like they're not that team didn't shoot outside. They didn't have three, but Michael Young could shoot outside. But it was and they didn't shoot free throws well. Ultimately, not shooting free throws well doomed the old school Cougs. But right now, I think the one thing that's missing for Kelvin Sampson is he's just they've got to have somebody, Sasser, whoever, who gets a little hot. And Sasser was 2 of 5 yesterday from three, but you got to have somebody that gets a little hot, at least, even if it's in spots.
They're not.
It's not who they are.
He's never had. No, he had Quentin Grimes, who's a good 3-point shooter. But other than that, he just hasn't. He doesn't have that. He the intensity that they play with. I guess he listen. It's okay if you don't shoot as well, as long as you are as intense and you play defensively like you do. I forget what I was going to. Anyway, that was just a great atmosphere yesterday. Just a great atmosphere yesterday. It's a lot of fun. 713-780-3776. The winningest Coug in Cougs basketball history was there yesterday. Do you have any idea who that is?
You're not going to say Carl Herrera, are you?
I'm not going to say he was there.
Well, it's got to be Dream.
Dream is not the winningest Coug ever.
Dream's not?
No.
Three Final Fours.
Yeah.
And he played 3 years. Three Final Fours.
The winningest Coug ever.
So is this like they played 5 games?
No. Most wins. Most wins ever.
Oh, Reed Geddes?
Nope.
I mean, it would have to be during that Five Slam and Jammer era.
No, it wasn't. It was this era. Fabian White.
Really?
Fabian White is the winningest Coug ever.
Really?
Well, he might have gotten an extra year because of the COVID.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's why. Fabian of course, White. They did lose most of that season, though.
So it's most wins, not winning percentage.
Most wins. Fabian White is the winningest in Cougs history. Galen Robinson was there. Fabian White and Quentin Grimes were all there.
They didn't lose most of the season. They shut the season down. Well, they shut it down in March.
They shut it down right before the tournament.
They shut it down in March.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, they had. Yeah, probably that's why, because he had 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
I've got guys now that I write up that are 6-year starters in college football. I'm like, 6-year starters who played almost 4,000 snaps of football.
Isn't that what's being held at Hendon Hooker? That's what being counted against him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he came in, I guess, later, but he played three.
But he's
he played 20. Three at VTech and two at Tennessee. Yeah.
What is he, 25?
He's 25. He's 25. He'll be 26 in January. Stetson Bennett will be 26 in October.
Yeah. Speaking of football, we had football here. Okay. We had football here. And actually, it was a really nice crowd.
Up next.
You're damn right that we did. You're damn right.
Did you go?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. But
are you like kind of?
I talked to Chris Pesman, who is at U of H, and he said it was tremendous. And when we left 5 games into that season when COVID hit us, it was it was about 20,000 fans there. They were under. There was about 10,000 there last night on Saturday night. Maybe in that neighborhood. He said. But they were enthusiastic. It was really, really a nice atmosphere. We'll talk about the Roughnecks on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At the game yesterday, now Mike Holley is a Coug, right? And he blocked for he blocked for a Heisman Trophy winner, right? So he's a Coug. His right-hand man is Chris, and Chris Fisher, and he's an Aggie. And who was at the game yesterday? Chris Fisher at the Cougs game, watching that and that wonderfulness. I was like, hey, what's Aggies doing here? Y'all are pretty good, too. That's okay. We wanted to come and see, support the Cougs. And HRP is really blowing and going. It is really unbelievable how well you guys have responded. Here's the deal, is get that payroll at an unbelievable, a great price. But don't pay for the benefits packages. Don't pay for the 401k. Don't pay for all of this stuff that these other payroll companies are trying to push onto you. That's not what HRP does. HRP will customize a plan perfect for your business with your HR and your taxes and your payroll, but they're not going to force their 401ks on you. They're not going to force their insurance packages on you. That's not what they do. And the other businesses that are the administrative businesses that are doing this are really making out on those, and that's not what HRP does. Let them customize the perfect plan for you. All you got to do is go to hrp.net, 281-880-6525 or hrp.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Up next!
Flag on the play. Taking a shot, and it's a one-handed catch! Burnett! End zone! If it stands, that's six! How did he do it? Borgi. Nice burst! Match Borgi! End zone! Roughnecks do it again!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, I may be a little biased, and I hate when people do this, and I used to hear nothing against Fred and AJ. Oh, that guy sucks. He's the worst. That guy, that bro, they don't know how to do all
this
stuff.
Were they talking about you?
No.
About to say that.
But I didn't appreciate Galindo on Saturday night doing the ESPN broadcast. I didn't think. Listen, and it was so funny because I'm watching the game, and did you see Borgi's run to the touchdown run?
Yeah.
He was stiff-arming his own guy. Did you see that? Because he thought it was a defender that was coming up on him, and his offensive lineman is right behind
him.
Yeah,
Max did hit.
He stiff-armed his own guy, and Galindo, I don't know. Anyway, so he gets to the sideline, and I kind of like, you know what? I was talking to my wife. We were watching the game, and she's like, this is a good idea. As soon as a guy comes off the field, like the quarterback or the guy who scores a touchdown, ask him a question. Like, I get to the sideline, and I got to get to my pad right. No.
Not in the pros, it's not a good idea. In XFL, where they're trying to get attention. Yeah, but they were doing that when you were there.
Yeah.
They were talking to guys.
There's no reason that you can't do it in the NFL.
I wouldn't. I don't. It's already uncomfortable enough for coaches who have, like, they're trying to focus on a lot of stuff. And there is a smaller amount of time.
When they run to the sideline, they can't answer a quick question?
Well, I thought the answers were well, I didn't love it. Well baseball... I didn't love it all the time for baseball. I think you got to really be careful with which person you're using. Although you're only talking to people who are, you know, successful.
Yeah, right. You're not saying, hey, you just got beat on that touchdown.
Burned on that one. What were your thoughts? And is he just too fast for you to cover?
So Borgi comes over the sideline. He goes, yeah. I stiff-armed my own guy because I thought. And I was like, hey, give me a call. I mean, give me. Anyway, I wasn't all that thrilled with. I wish I was there. If you want to know the truth, I wish we were still doing it because it was so much fun.
I didn't know a lot of the guys yesterday from, like, I haven't written a lot of those guys.
Well, you knew Borgi from Washington State.
No, I know him.
Yeah, right.
I know him, but I don't think like DeJuan Lee, who had a catch. Jontre Kirkland, I never wrote him up.
No.
He had five catches for 71. Deontay Burnett, I think I did write up.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, RJ has a little game for you that maybe we'll play a little bit later in the show. But we did hear from The Rock. The Rock was there.
Yeah.
Right? With Danny and his team. They were here in Houston. Let's face it, this has been the most successful franchise since the the league started, XFL started. It's a new iteration of it, but it's still the most successful franchise. And here's what listen, there was no question that Wade Phillips out-coached T-Buck. I mean, it's night and day with this coaching staff. And it was much the same way with June Jones when he was here.
Yeah.
Bob Stoops is a really good coach. And actually, that was a great, great game that finished in the last. So that would have been, it would have been interesting to see if Bob Stoops could have taken care of business against this Roughnecks team a couple of years ago. Bob Stoops has got a chance again. Their team won. Arlington won. Actually, it was kind of a wild game, but they ended up winning. But here is Dwayne the Rock. Here's The Rock talking about Wade Phillips.
He is not only a local icon, but he's also a hometown boy. And it's Wade Phillips. It's his entire family. University of Houston. I mean, really, it's perfect, you know. And as pretty decent storytellers as we are, it was a really nice story for us. Great for it to converge. But also what you also realize when you look at how these Houston Roughnecks are playing, there's an experience that they're already playing with based on Wade Phillips, who's been around and won championships. So you could see that on the field.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. Congratulations to the Roughnecks getting that win. It's a long season, 10 games. So it's going to be off to a great start.
Unless we have another pandemic.
Roughnecks! Well, we're not going to have another pandemic.
But if we do, have you seen The Last of Us where all the mushrooms and fungus start growing on people, and it ruined everything?
No, I didn't.
What if that happens?
I didn't see that because I stopped watching it after one episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what we watched this weekend that you have to watch?
What?
Kunk on Earth.
So I started. I've watched the first 10 minutes. It was making me uncomfortable.
It's it
reminded me of Ollie G. A lot of the Ollie G stuff.
Yeah, it's just like that. Where she interviews all of these experts in
I can't believe they let her ask questions like they did. They weren't saying, "What are you talking about?"
But even her little, you know, snippets that she's at different places.
Where she's talking.
She is I don't know who's writing this for her. If she's writing it. But she is, first of all, she delivers it great. And secondly, the writing is second to none.
Her delivery is really
excellent.
Terrific.
Excellent. Yeah. If you haven't seen Kunk on Earth,
it sounds weird, but that's her last name, supposedly.
Right. Philomena.
Yeah, talking about, you know, different things with Earth. And then she talks to experts. And then ask them really,
really uncomfortable questions.
Yeah.
Really uncomfortable questions.
I just started it on the other day.
Anal bleaching one?
No, I just started. I didn't get to that one.
Okay. All right.
I didn't get to that one. Good thing it's President's Day and the kids aren't listening to you talk about A-B-ing.
No, it was... Did the Romans invent it?
That's just like...
No, did the Romans invent it or perfect it? And she was going, tunnel system. Oh, they invented it. Okay. Oh, ding. Did cornrows, did they invent it or perfect it? Perfected it. Ding. Anal bleaching. What is that?
It is just like Ollie G when he would get somebody and he asked him questions as this as his London-based faux, you know, suburban gangster character that he had. It was... Ollie G, when he did it was amazing. And when I was watching this, I'm like, this is just like Ollie G.
Yes.
Just a different character.
Anyway, if you want to laugh, because we laughed. We watched three episodes and just laughed. Just good stuff. Anyway, that's something else to watch. 713-780-377. Yeah, by the way, it is President. Happy President's Day, the holiest of holidays today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge day for
what
all
if
of
you. Are we celebrating presidents? Like Trump?
I guess. I mean, they don't have...
Can we celebrate Trump as a president?
You can celebrate whoever you want.
You can?
Or you just celebrate...
Or do you get canceled if you...
Well, I think you're supposed to celebrate the office.
The office?
The office of the presidency.
Of the presidency. Not individual president.
You know what you're supposed to eat on President's Day? Like, what do you have for 4th of
July? Well, what if you're Taft? You eat anything.
What if you're... Well, yeah. Yeah, no, if you're that specific president. What 4th of July, what are you supposed...
You're supposed to barbecue.
Yeah, you know what you're supposed to eat today? Out of respect, boiled peanuts for Jimmy Carter out of Georgia. Oh. You ever had boiled peanuts?
I don't
They're terrible.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
Yeah, I don't put my hand.
I've had boiled peanuts, and they are terrible.
Are they? I haven't had that. But that's what Jimmy Carter. I didn't. He wasn't my favorite, though.
Well, that's what they have in Georgia.
Right, right, right.
You don't. It doesn't have to be your favorite. You just are supposed to.
Well, isn't there? Is there a Louisiana president that I can eat crawfish?
Oh. You know what? I say we President's Day. No, we don't have a food choice on President's Day, and we're in crawfish season.
I know, right?
I think we should just have crawfish on President's
Day. Yeah, no, we had crawfish last night.
Why not just say that?
Yeah. No. I mean, but do we want a Louisiana president ever?
No, I don't think we want one.
No.
But that's too dangerous.
No. Have you ever seen Edwin Edwards?
Edwin Edwards?
Edwin Edwards and wait, all of them. I don't know that there hasn't been a corrupt Louisiana governor ever.
Just mayors?
Ever.
Governors? Doesn't matter.
No, it just doesn't matter. So I'm not sure that we want a Louisiana president ever. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us. When we come back, the Astros. The Astros are back at it. We got plenty of sound, and we can talk about our Astros. Is anybody in? There was nobody in the street. I mean, there was nothing open, and there was nobody on the streets this morning, right? How easy was it to come in? There was
no, easy.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't think about it. I mean, actually, it can be. There can be some people, but no.
People
actually take
President's Day off.
Yeah, they actually do. Schools get it off.
Schools are off, right?
Yeah, this is not one of our company holidays.
I think it is. Today's a holiday for our company, right? I think it is.
I can look it up right
now. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
You think this is a company holiday?
I think this is a company holiday today. Yeah. Yeah. Boiled peanuts are great, Martin says. You don't know nothing.
That's because Martin's ACC guy. He's nearish to Georgia.
Yeah, but that's SEC. So
yeah, but don't you feel like North Carolina
Georgia Tech is ACC, so yeah.
Yeah, don't you feel like North Carolina's got, like... It depends. If they're getting Appalachians, it gets a little sketchy. They could eat boiled peanuts.
Oh, you think the Appalachians might be a little sketchy?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hillbillies up there, like Martin.
No, it's very.
Yeah, he's a hillbilly.
The Appalachians, I was in North Carolina once and up in the mountains. And I was at this little gas station. We were doing mountain driving, and at the base of one, there was finally a place where we could get some gas. And boy, it felt weird. Everyone's looking. It's almost they know if you're not from here. They know who you are.
What do you
they
think they think of me with my electric truck up there?
Oh
no,
God, would absolutely. You ever seen Ned Beatty?
Yeah,
I would not go with your electric truck. I think you're basically baiting them.
You want some of this?
Yeah. So, I do not want to hear the phrase squeal like a pig.
No.
Not want to see that or hear that for you.
Well, only if you got good insurance, okay?
Well, TGS isn't trying to find you insurance against the people of the Appalachian Mountains. What they're trying to do is help you get homeowners insurance at a very competitive rate without having to deal with, you're not dealing with just companies who are not, who are sketchy from an insurance standpoint. We're talking about only A-rated companies. So you're dealing with the very best A-rated insurance companies. And then from there, you are going to find that they can get competitive rates, and they shop multiple A-rated companies with their algorithm they have. And it takes it literally takes a matter of seconds. It takes 15 seconds to get you a firm quote on homeowners insurance. That's how easy it is. All you have to do is text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. And within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote on your homeowners insurance. You're going to have an opportunity to save money and put more money back in your pocket for a product you're already going to get. Why pay retail when you can get it wholesale with competitive rates through TGS Insurance? Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we're seeing a lot of spring training stuff now. The Astros are there. A lot of guys are playing in the World Baseball Classic. So,
Especially the Astros.
Especially the Astros, yeah. They got a lot of guys.
You know what's a good sign that you got a pretty good team? If you got a lot of your players at the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
It's usually a pretty decent sign for you.
Yeah, because you got, because they're all, well, first of all, is there a team that's as worldly as the Astros, you know, from different countries? It's unbelievable.
And they're good.
And they're really, really good. That is a tribute to Jeff Luhnow and how he knew how to find talent. Because most all of those guys were found by Jeff Luhnow and his staff and signed, and look at what it brought, a couple of championships here. So Kyle Tucker is one of those guys. He's on the American team. And Kyle Tucker, at Astros camp, was asked about his – you know what? It sucks. And if you were with us last week, you heard us talk about Corbin Burnes from the Milwaukee Brewers and how – disenchanted he was with the organization after his arbitration hearing. They actually blamed him for not making one of the five best pitchers in all of baseball, and they're blaming him for not making.
That's what he said. They intimated that he had a role in it.
Yeah, he was a part of.
If you didn't hear this, man, bad blood.
Yeah,
he was really not happy.
And I told you, I've talked to a lot of players who've been through the arbitration process. When I was doing Sports Night Live, I forget which guy I had on. He was like, man, it sucks. It's because they badmouth you in this thing. Kyle Tucker said that wasn't the case in his.
Right.
Which is nice, nice, nice. Kyle Tucker has been, if not the best value in baseball. Dude made, I think, $700,000, $800,000, and $900,000 since he's been an Astro. With the production that he has for under $1 million, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but it's just the way it is. Like, it's
no.
Because he's going to get guaranteed money for the rest of his life coming up soon.
Well, no. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
That's how it's been negotiated over the years. And the first end is the owner's side, and the second end is the player's side.
Right. Exactly.
Actually, you know, if you're a good player.
But there aren't many players that contribute. Like, listen, Kyle Tucker is one of the best players in all of baseball. There aren't a lot of guys that in their first 3 years, team-controlled years, are contributing like he does.
No. It's rare, but he also, all those things are going to lead to him getting a $40 million
contract.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, I saw a good point. There was an argument on Twitter. Somebody said, you got a chance to burn your bridge with Kyle Tucker over $2.5 million. And then this guy said, look, first of all, that's a lot of money. Let's stop acting like $2.5 million isn't a lot. But it also has an impact on the next year's arbitration and the next year's, like, it has a cumulative effect if you give in early on in the process, especially that amount of money.
Well, shoot, Corbin Burnes was $10 million as opposed to $10,750,000. They went to war with Corbin Burnes, one of the best pitchers in baseball, over $750,000 when it's a $10 million deal. That one they should have.
Trust me, I think owners would absolutely love a system. You know, I see people, and your argument is it's not that you're making an argument, you're just pointing something out. Look how good this guy plays, and look what his salary is right now. But I think the owners in every sport would love a methodology where all of your salaries was determined by how much you play, how well you play, what the winning total that you had, your performance toward winning. Oh, when it's a meritocracy-based salary instead of a John Wall-based salary, I think NBA owners, every owner would say, no, you're right. Boy, this guy's outplaying his contract. Great. Let's make it to where you get paid what you deserve.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about the NBA and, hey, coach, if I get more defensive rebounds, I ain't going out on that guy because I need defensive rebounds and I get paid more. In baseball, there is zero incentives for play. Zero. Only for played appearances or games played. That's it. Not batting average or home runs or
right.
You kid. There is zero. It's against the rules of baseball because it's such a sport that you have to do everything you can to win as opposed to personal stats.
Right.
So Kyle Tucker, if Kyle Tucker was paid in a meritocracy, Kyle Tucker would be one of the highest paid players in the game right now.
Yeah.
But that's not the system. The system is your first year of arbitration, this is what you get, this is what you
because
get.
Because but by the way, it works both ways. If it's a meritocracy, then Yuli would have made about $3 million a year last year. I mean.
Right.
That, because you know, like, that's what I'm saying. The owners would love that because then it's truly you are paid what you are.
Oh, no. Well, he was coming off the batting championship. What do you mean he would have made $3 million?
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
This year he'd be $3 million.
Yeah.
But which is. probably what he's going to get, right?
Yeah.
If he does. Anyway.
But it would be an annual. It would be a year-by-year thing.
Right. Yeah, but that ain't happening. Ain't happening. That would change up the whole thing. But here's the deal is Kyle Tucker is not – he does not have any animosity toward the organization. When asked about what did the Astros have to say about him to win their arbitration hearing.
I mean, it's just stuff I've probably never talked to them about. It's just their kind of viewpoint on me as a player in respect to, you know, other players around the league. But, you know, I've heard worse in the outfield, so I was fine in there.
You know, they didn't kill him. They didn't go after him. He's not going to let it impact him. I still believe Kyle Tucker is going to go to free agency. I don't think he's going to take one of those long-term deals.
And it has nothing to do with I just think it's the Astros' philosophy versus Kyle Tucker's willingness to take a long-term deal. It's just not going to align.
I don't think so either.
But you know, you give it your best shot and you know, maybe you take a look at saying, "Hey, we just want to extend you 2 years," but the problem is it takes longer to get to your long-term deal. It doesn't really make sense for a player who thinks he's going to, you know, be a superstar in the game. Why would you want to extend? Yeah, it's great money in the short term, no. And you are taken care of for life, you know, potentially, but why would you want to extend when you know that, or I could just take an 8 to 10 year deal with the same amount of money?
Well, the younger you get to free agency, the better off you are. Even he doesn't even want to add like those 2 years. He's got
right.
3 years. He's not going to add 2 more years
because
he'll be right at 30 years old. He's a lot more attractive at 28.
Oh man, that's the only way you get those long-term deals.
That's right, and then that guaranteed money for. But you know what? You're betting on yourself too. I mean, he as opposed to making this $5 million, look at Christian Javier.
Uh-huh.
Christian Javier has got a 5-year, $64 million deal. He's making over $12
million a year. Yeah.
I mean, right now. And Kyle Tucker, who's one of the best right fielders in baseball, is making $5 million.
You know, but Kyle Tucker is going to bet on himself through – we have a history of him. For as great as Javier is, and his stuff is unbelievable, it is still one
–
like, he's been getting – like, he's got – it's really more than 1 year. But he has one bang-up year, and he said, you know what, let me take some early money, and I think that I'll still be a really good pitcher in 6 years.
Yeah, well, pitchers, look at Verlander's 40.
Yeah.
I mean, pitchers can keep on going, especially guys
who pitchers can also fall off, you know, and have arm injuries or whatever, and, like, he's getting his money now. So it is a more volatile position pitcher than position player.
Kyle Tucker's not the only guy. I mean, we saw Dana Brown last week say, hey, Altuve and Bregman, we want to get them done. Jose Altuve came to camp and was asked how important it is for him to get an extension done this year.
I think that the important thing is right now is we are in the same pace, like I just said a minute ago. And, you know, they said they want to keep me here. I want to stay here. So I think that's great for both sides.
That is great for both sides. Yeah, I can't see Jose Altuve playing for another team.
Nah, it can't happen.
No.
It's like Biggio playing for another team. I mean, this is just Latin American Biggio. This is Venezuelan Biggio. He's got to end his career here. For one era of Astros baseball, Craig Biggio was kind of, I mean, it's Bagwell Biggio, but Craig Biggio was a guy who personified Astros baseball from start to finish. Bagwell, we know, had some injuries at the end. And then for, you know, this era, it's Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to stay here. You can't let him go. And I don't think he wants to go.
No. No, 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 no. Jose Altuve can't put on another uniform ever, 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 ever.
Ever.
Greatest
he must be stopped
greatest
at
Astro
all.
Ever?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had so many great moments. Jose Altuve was a fun little, he was a fun little carnival act early in his career. Like, look at the pudgy little guy who, because people
little
forget,
fellow.
He was
look
a little,
how little he is.
Remember when he was a pudgy wee guy?
Yeah.
And then he lost weight and he's like, man, he just had 200 hits, just won a batting title. This is crazy. And it just keeps getting better and better and stay. Yeah. And so, and then he's, you know, his postseason heroics and just everything about
just
him.
Yankee
been so
killer.
Great. you know, iconic picture of him standing next to Judge.
Yeah.
We remember that picture. And he's always talking and laughing with guys on the base pass.
Yeah.
Just everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's.
And then when he, with the buzzers, the way he innovated the game, remember when he had the buzzers and that's how they won the, that's how he hit a home run against Aroldis Chapman, who apparently everyone uses buzzers against Aroldis.
Well,
since Aroldis is terrible.
Yeah, no. No, it was impossible to hit a home run off of Aroldis Chapman in a big situation, you know, unless everybody did it, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He cheated and used a buzzer. Remember, he didn't want anybody to tear off his shirt.
And then, here's what I love: is that on the same team, remember that buzzer that was taped to your right fielder.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. Oh, Reddick.
Yeah, Josh Reddick. Remember when he had his buzzer taped in it? Now, some people have a video that has been doctored where it turns out it's just supposedly it's just like the confetti. And then it falls off and there's nothing there.
Right.
But I think that's probably been doctored because we know that the Astros had a bunch of buzzers.
Everybody
taped
had
on
buzzers
them.
No, Josh Reddick, who actually never used it. He said he never used it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it checks out.
Is pretty belligerent.
That checks out with some of his men in scoring position hitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And please do, if you're out there and about right now, if you have to work today, if you have a sucky job, if you want to come in.
Let us know if you exist.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Is your job sucks if you have to work today, like us. Our jobs suck.
Well,
I mean, in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, it feels like it's okay.
Right. No. I mean.
Hey, partner, you ain't working in a coal mine, partner.
Hey, that's a dick he told you. You wanted a raise.
I asked if I get a raise. No. Well, we went from a three-hour show to a four-hour show. Like, are we going to get an increase in pay, too? Hey, partner, you ain't working a coal mine. It's easy money, partner. I guess I'll work for the same amount of money.
Oh, do you know anybody that grinds like we do for 3 hours?
No, I don't.
Hey, I want to talk right now. I don't know anybody that does what Houston Powder Coaters do. I mean, it's unbelievable how they save your patio furniture, how they save your car parts, your wheels, your lift kits. It doesn't matter if it's metal; they can save it. And mostly, it's a lot of patio furniture, but what they do in the priming and prepping of the metal is unbelievable. How diligent they are. It takes somebody that really, really cares to make sure that everything is perfect before they go into those ovens and they powder coat it and they change the color, whatever color you want, 100 colors in stock. If your patio furniture is old and faded, go ahead and listen, patio furniture is expensive. Go ahead and price it to see whether or not you want to replace it or you want to send it to Houston Powder Coaters. They travel all over. They will pick up and deliver, all right? It doesn't matter what it is. Patio furniture, their hardware, the straps, the slings, the repair, everything. But it's not just patio furniture. It's anything metal. And if you're looking for the best in the business, it's HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 281-676-3888. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I forgot. You know what we got right now? Let's go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You have one sentence to tell us. It doesn't have to be about sports. It can be. It doesn't have to be about sports. It can be about whatever. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Is it something that she did? Something that your boss did? Is it something that is embarrassing? It's not embarrassing. Did you learn something about your wife that you just can't? Well, I mean, if she wronged you, you can tell, you can out her. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Or your husband. We don't ever have we had a female call into
about, no, I don't know that we have. I don't know that we have.
Why?
I don't know.
This is a perfect opportunity for you to tell.
Yeah, for you to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you have friends you tell on. You say the things about your husband to your friends. Do it on radio.
Do it on radio.
Do it on radio.
Yeah, but people need to know.
You don't have to say your name.
No. No,
you can say your name or his name.
Garble your voice.
Or,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if it's a boyfriend and he did something bad to you, I mean, if you put him out there, we can't do anything.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do
about it. So I didn't do it to you. I learned something. I learned that I can be a sake guy. Drinking sake? A sake?
Yeah.
I can be a sake guy. Had that at Money Cat. Me and Sol has polished off a bottle. I also learned that my whole family's been gone since Friday, and like, it's been kind of fun.
that was the lead, and that's
Friday,
all you had to
Saturday,
say.
Sunday.
That's all you had to say. Okay,
yeah, I really should have just.
You're not really good at this game because you're only supposed to say one sentence. Yeah, you're really not good at this. Yeah. You get one sentence. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to tell us what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. Let's go. Mito.
Hey, I learned if you're not Steve Francis or Kenny Smith, don't enter the dunk contest if you're a Rocket.
Yeah, last year was Jalen Green. This year's KJ Martin, he was okay. I mean, he was okay. Jalen was embarrassing last year. The whole dunk contest was embarrassing last year.
This wasn't
Jabari and the rookie skills. Oh, the rookies were so brutal shooting.
Not that McClung really saved the day, though. Yeah,
that could be some. I think that's going to be somebody's. What did I learn?
Tom, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that the easiest way to get a woman to be interested in you is to let her find out there's another woman interested in you.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. I might miss out on this.
Patrice O'Neill, the great Patrice O'Neill, had something about. Your woman is about being a fisherman, and if they don't smell fish on you, they don't look at you as a fisherman anymore. And when they think you're fish, when he's like, I see you as a fisherman still.
Yeah, right. They don't smell fish on you, Mark. Okay,
yeah,
a little double
entendre.
Mark, what'd you learn this weekend?
Mardi Gras beads are a hell of a negotiation tool.
Ooh,
it's amazing.
Show me something.
It's amazing what. Plastic. Well,
I mean, it's
turn
unbelievable.
Into. Now, the small ones, after a while, like in New Orleans,
nice
they just
ones.
Let those go.
Yeah.
But you get the pearls.
Nice ones?
The pearls, the bigger ones.
Yeah.
People, that's a big deal. They're also not super expensive.
No, and we've seen girls do stuff.
They do, like.
It's unbelievable.
It gets wild.
For them beads. Show me something.
I had an ex that in the middle of Bourbon Street, she starts like, whoa, no. Not doing this here in front of all these people. What are you doing? I need that heat.
John, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Reedfield Meat Market in Bryan, Texas is pretty kick ass. They got me some prosciutto to make a Italian stuff today.
Oh, it broke up really bad.
Yeah, it broke up.
I didn't understand it. Did you understand it, RJ? I couldn't understand it. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend? In one sentence. Justin, what'd you learn?
I learned the XFL is about 100 times better than any NBA game.
That is kind of true. I was, you know what? I turned off the NBA game and went to the XFL game last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. XFL has some, the USFL just doesn't get people, but the XFL, for whatever reason, there's a little more juice around.
Well, it's in the city that you play. All the games were in Birmingham for the USFL.
Yeah.
Even they were going to Memphis instead of coming to Houston.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was like, nah, I'll take a co-offensive coordinator job at Maryland as opposed to doing that.
I got confused with like, well, how are they playing the Roughnecks game here? I thought all of them were like, oh, yeah, that's USFL.
That's the USFL. It's stupid.
It's a money-saving thing.
La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
¿Qué pasó, Juanito G? ¿Qué pasó, Lane?
¿Qué onda? ¿Qué onda?
I learned this weekend that Alexis still can't find Gilbert's song, Howdy Ho, Springfield.
That's not what you learned this weekend. Actually, people did find Heidi Ho. They did. It was the Philharmonic.
Ho.
The Neon Philharmonic, right?
Or whatever, yeah. Right. Neon Philharmonic.
Yeah.
It's kind of the jam, if I'm being honest.
It is.
It'll get in your head.
Really kind of is. Yeah. No wonder it's Gilbert's favorite song. Yeah, no wonder he's distraught. I mean,
it was the remastered version we had, according to Gilbert, so it didn't count.
Bobby, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that in the storied 3-year history of the XFL Roughnecks franchise, it contains exactly 0 losses.
Zero. 0 losses. Thank you, Bobby.
Roughnecks!
3-year history?
Well, it's a 6-game history.
Yeah.
A 6-game history. But
3 years?
Yeah.
What?
Well, it was 1 year, and then they took 2 years off, and now here we are.
Oh, you're counting the years off?
Well, yeah, of course he is. Right.
3-year history. So, right. The history since their inception.
Right.
I got you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, don't you know?
Yeah, 3 years. You don't soon know. To be. We're in the middle of our fourth year.
You don't know nothing about.
What is 6 games?
XFL history.
It is 6 games. No, I am. You know what? I want one of my kids to become an XFL historian. They can start now. It's not a. not hard catching
It's not
up.
Too late.
No, it's not too late.
No. SMU Sonny. I know he learned something about the Arlington team.
Yeah.
What's up, sure. SMU Sonny?
Yeah, I learned the Roughnecks have the best offense in the league. I learned the Renegades have the best defense in the league. Sunday night, let's ball out, baby!
What's that?
It's going to be on.
It's going to be on.
It's going to be on.
What, okay.
The Renegades haven't even played anyone yet.
The best offense in the league versus the best defense in the league. Who you got?
Immovable object versus irresistible force. I got the best offense.
I got the best offense, too.
I got the best offense. And I'm telling you, right now, you know, I think when you look at what so far... Arlington is done. They haven't played anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their strength of schedule. It's terrible.
Yep. Everybody's learning. I learned that the Roughnecks are still the greatest franchise in XFL history. I learned that the Roughnecks are still great.
Everybody... I saw a guy drink a beer out of a shoe yesterday after the win. That's how he celebrated.
That's how great.
He poured a beer in his shoe and drank it out of the shoe.
Listen, if it wasn't for... I mean, it was 33-12, and it would have been 33-6 if it wasn't... Did you see the first touchdown by Orlando?
Yeah.
And it was an interception.
Yeah.
It was an interception.
Yeah, so.
And they gave him the touchdown.
Oh, you're talking about the interception on the on their touchdown?
Yeah.
It should have been an interception.
It should have been an interception.
Well, they just.
No, should have been. No.
See, that's Roughneck Johnny right there.
You're damn right. Oh, no, I would have been bitching about it on the broadcast. There's no
would
question.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they couldn't let you do it. It's supposed to be an unbiased broadcast.
Well, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get. Hur! No, don't do it again, RJ.
Do it.
No.
Fire.
Don't. Fire. No, RJ.
Alexa, turn it off.
Dale, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, I learned that the Roughneck prices are rip-off.
What? What did you pay for your ticket?
Well, I paid $40 for parking.
Whoa.
And I paid $52 for stat.
Oh, man. That's $20 for parking. Hey, listen. Have you ever lived in New York? Have you ever lived in New York?
He doesn't live in New York.
Okay. You know what you pay for parking in New York?
But he doesn't, but what does that have to do with here?
Okay, just so you...
They have township taxes in
New York. I learned that it's really cheap to park here versus New York.
Do you have a parking pass?
I don't have a park. I did. I don't anymore. Oh, but you know
what?
Did
you have to pay for a ticket?
It's still a lot cheaper than parking in New York.
Oh, wait, you didn't go to the game.
Yeah. No, I didn't go to the game.
Yeah. No. Will you pay to go to the game?
I'm not sure.
See?
I'm not sure.
He's telling you it was expensive.
Well, good for... I mean, relatively speaking, okay. Move to New York then and see how
what
you
do
like
you compare?
It.
That's like saying, man, my house, these taxes on my home are expensive. Oh, really? Move to New York and see how much your house costs.
Yeah, see how much.
Like, but I don't live there. Why are you making these... Who you think crime is bad here? Go to New York.
Yeah, right.
I don't even want... I've seen some videos lately. Did you see the guy with the... With the machine, with the assault rifle, he just walks in, shoots a guy behind the counter, somehow missed the two shots, missed, and the last one grazes his head. Then he goes back. Did you see it, RJ? Then he goes back and gets his assault rifle, and as the guy's on the ground screaming, he like holds it over the, it's in like a little bodega or whatever, and just starts. Brrr. It's what, crazy. It's just in New York. They finally arrested this guy. Some of the stuff I've seen in New York lately is bananas.
Well, I just saw a commercial for with the mask on. Scream? Is it called Scream?
No, it was an actual.
This is actually
video.
Happened. This actually happened. It wasn't a movie.
Something.
Are you sure it's not a movie?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I learned that Scream is a movie. John, let's finish it up. What'd you learn this weekend, John?
I think Lance stole my thunder. I learned that white men can jump.
White man can jump, he said.
Charles Altuve learned that there's an actual human being named Mac McClung on the Earth, on planet Earth.
So I've known about him for a while. Anyone who's run into the mixtape stuff, yeah. I remember the first time I saw him in a game do a dunk between his legs, jumped what between his legs and dunked in a high school game. It's this little white guy, as you guys have all seen, against other like white guys. And I'm like, well, I did not expect that dunk. And all of a sudden, all these other dunks, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is like when I was watching LeBradford Smith back in the day in high school. And so I kept saying, who is this guy? Well, he went to Georgetown, and his favorite player was he broke Allen Iverson's scoring record in Virginia. He's the all-time leading scorer, I think still, in Virginia high school history. He went to Georgetown to follow in this footsteps of Allen Iverson. Then ended up at Texas Tech. He went and played at Tech. He finished at Texas Tech.
I didn't know that. And you know what I learned this weekend? That.
And he's on a two-way contract right now. He had just gotten signed to a two-way contract to the – they were still going to have him in a dunk contest, even coming from the G League, because they knew how important – this just goes to show you. It should be two of the best dunkers in the world, whoever they are, versus like two NBA players if they want to get in. And if you don't even want to use NBA players, who cares? People will still watch.
Oh, yeah.
Mac McClung's dunks were unbelievable.
And Daryl Morey just signed him so he could have a Sixers jersey on. That's it.
You
so
think that's probably, you know that's what? The only reason that's 100% why. It's a two-way contract.
Yeah.
That's exactly why Daryl did
just so
it.
He could go and dunk in the dunk contest.
And his Sixers stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 801 ESPN.
Well, but Mac McClung, his high school, his college with Georgetown, and now Sixers jersey in the dunk contest. Everyone's like, this is the Iverson mode.
I don't know what it's going to right. Boy, you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Except that whole playing thing and Hall of Fame career.
Well, yeah.
Other than that.
And hopefully it's
yeah.
a little less rocky.
Yeah. And if you're having rocky times right now, John Daspidus is here for you.
Yeah, John Daspidus. He's a guy who I went to a Cougar game a couple weeks ago with John Dasp, 3 weeks ago. And he had a great time. The collective guys had him out there on the front row taking in the game. And it's, you know, he's somebody who's been a part of the NIL stuff for University of Houston because he loves that basketball team because they, you know, they're a team that they fight hard on every possession. They're never going to be outworked. And John's like, this is what I stand for. I'm never going to be outworked. I'm going to fight hard every single day for you. If a day is a possession, then that's what I'm going to do. And he has cases that will take a little longer because here's the deal. He's looking out for his clients. There's a lot of lawyers out there who will just try to settle as fast as they can and try to get money in their own pocket. John Daspit is trying to get you the best deal possible when you have been injured through no fault of your own. Someone else's negligence hurt you, and you have injuries. You've had hospital time, missed work, physical therapy. You have a back issue that hasn't fully, you know, come back. I mean, these are things that happen to people who are injured in many cases. He's in the middle of a refinery blast court case right now where he is working hard for all of the people who were involved in that one. John Daspit is the guy to call when you're serious about making sure that you have somebody to stand up to the bullies that the insurance companies have going up against you. 713-322-HURT. That's his phone number. 713-322-HURT or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.